Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good friend and co-host, Lee Cantor. How you doing, man?
I am doing great. Fired up. Another week. Interesting guests fill the room.
Yeah, well, this is always a fun segment for me. This is our Dunwoody Chamber special, and as is usually the case, we have with us Executive Director Beth Summers. How you doing, Sunshine? It's been a while since I've seen you.
It has been a while. I'm awesome. Things are great.
So what's been going on at the Chamber? Get us caught up on some recent activities.
We have had lots of activity. In this week especially, we have tomorrow, Tuesday, August 12th, we have the Joint Perimeter Luncheon. This is the luncheon that we do with Sandy Springs Chamber. So this is the last one of the year. It's at the retreat, and the Commissioner of Economic Development, Chris Carr, will be speaking. We have over 130 people attending so far, so we're very excited. And next Tuesday, August 19th, we have our Dunwoody Chamber in Heels and our women's group from Sandy Springs Chamber. We are doing a joint luncheon, something new that we're doing. This is at Five Seasons Brewery in Sandy Springs. And Gail Westcott will be speaking. And she is one of the first women who got to interview the Beatles when they landed in America. Wow. So she is really awesome.
She'll have some good stories, huh?
She will have some really good stories. I've heard her talk, and I've seen all her slides, and she's great. Friday, August 29th is our monthly Coffee and Contacts, and that is a networking event that we also do with the Sandy Springs Chamber. And this month it's at Morgan Falls Cafe at 7:30 a.m., so it's very early, but it's a great time, great way to network with people of this whole area. And then Thursday the 28th, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, is our new member orientation. This is for all of our new members at the Chamber as well as prospects. If you want to come find out what the Chamber has to offer, how it works, and if you're interested, then you can join. You can come to that, and that is at 4 o'clock at Harry Norman Realtors on Ashford Dunwoody Road.
And you were not invited to the Five Seasons gig?
No, I was not.
No, not unless you wear heels. And
I've tried to get in before. So far, unsuccessful.
So we have some local entrepreneurs in the studio with us this morning. In just a little while, we're going to get a chance to visit with the owner of UFC Gym, Eric Williams. But first, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Kelly Bring, Inc., Miss Lynn Bring. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm great. Thanks, Lee. How are you today?
We are doing well, but I'm Stone and he's Lee.
Oh, sorry.
Not off to a good start.
She did exactly like we coached her. She looked dead ahead of me, and she said Lee. So actually, she knew it the whole time. She was just following directions. So tell us a little bit about mission and purpose of Kelly Bring. What are you out there doing for folks?
Basically, what I do is I help companies grow and expand to their capacity by streamlining their processes and helping them fix areas that are causing issues for them by finding the root cause of the problems.
Like so partners that don't perform, business partners that don't perform.
Well, more like, you know, companies so tend to focus on people and fixing people. And 98% of the time, I have found that it's the processes that are causing the problem. You know, Joe leaves and Sally comes by and Joe trains Sally on how he's done it for 5 years. And then Sally leaves and she trains Lee and on how she's done it for 2 years. And what happens is processes just turn into a mess. And companies don't really know what their people are doing. So I have a magic toolkit that I use to help them resolve the issues, find the root cause and resolve the issues.
So you're able to go into a company and kind of get the lay of the land of all their processes?
Yes. I do it individually first by identifying what their core is. So when we determine the buckets of work that they have,
right.
I call that the strategic process framework. So we build their framework and then identify all the processes within those frameworks.
So, but every individual, like nobody anymore, do they, or I'm asking, mm-hmm. do they just have one bucket?
Oh, gosh, no.
Right?
No,
so
no, no,
some
no.
people get yeah. to have, like Stone probably has two buckets.
Maybe
three.
Well, you know, for example, a bucket would be like marketing or sales
well,
or
marketing
finance,
could have
right?
other buckets in it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right.
So mm-hmm. how many buckets do you carry with you when you go to
Oh, I don't carry the buckets. I carry the toolkit.
And then it's and you identify like, what's the most number of buckets somebody's ever had?
Oh, I think it's the Dunwoody Chamber.
That is so true.
So,
how many were there? Like,
I don't know.
14,
there
I think.
Was way
so
too many.
One individual had 14 buckets?
One business. Yeah.
Okay, but what as an individual, how mm-hmm. many, what's the most you've seen?
Well, the Dunwoody Chamber. Mm-hmm. They've had the most. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Because of everything that they're working on.
Right.
And, you know, and that holds true with any company. Most businesses focus on their prime areas, right? So, like, for example, a nonprofit that I work with, their two main focus areas are adoption and maintaining their facility. Okay, so they had those two buckets, and then another bucket would be their marketing, where they have their website, right, and all of the things that they do to manage the marketing for that business. And then another bucket would be their where they're raising funds for their business.
Right.
So they had about four or five buckets. And that's their framework. So you build a framework, and then you identify all the processes underneath.
Okay, so like you take one of them. So you, mm-hmm. say you take fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
So now underneath fundraising, it could be like a gala, or
exactly.
it could be a fun run.
Exactly.
And then those would have new bucket. That's a new bucket, the gala bucket,
well,
right?
Well, no, it's not a new bucket. It becomes the process.
Okay.
It's the process of understanding how the gala is managed and everything that goes into managing that gala.
And then so you help them kind of just write down the process, like what are all the steps in order to
execute
that?
I have a tool. One of the tools that I use is process mapping, and it's a software.
Uh-huh.
And so I sit down with the subject matter experts, the people who really know and who are doing the work.
Right.
And I interview them, and we talk about, tell me a little bit about what you do. And so they start talking, and I say, well, is that really all you do? And they say, oh, no, well, I do this and this and this. And they forget what they do,
right.
which is very frequent. And there's a lot of interaction going back and forth potentially with other groups where, you know, potentially if they are planning a gala, then they probably have an interaction with a hotel or a facility.
Right, somebody's
right?
got to book that site, right?
Right,
do a site
exactly.
visit, and
right.
there's a whole...
So there's another... process that goes along with that process.
Right. And so, they just lumped it into, well, I mm-hmm. do the gala.
Right.
And
exactly.
they didn't kind of
right.
mark down all the little steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what the process mapping does is it clearly identifies all the steps that are done to ensure that that event is successful.
Right.
right? Well, when you analyze that data, frequently what happens, there are a lot of redundancies and gaps where, oops, problems happen. So what I do is I take that as is, I call it the as is process. So that's what people are doing.
Currently.
Right.
Right.
And I say, okay, based on the analysis that I've completed, there are gaps here. There are redundancies here.
What's an example of a redundancy?
Where two people might be doing or looking at the same issue. And it's not really necessary because the first person looks at it and says, okay, yeah, this is fine. I checked off this box and this box and this box. And I'm going to put it on Susie's desk just to get her approval.
Right.
We don't really need Susie's approval, right?
Because it's done.
Yeah, it's right. complete. So that's a redundancy. So you take out all that junk. And then you streamline the process, you reduce the cycle time, and you make people more productive. That's how you fix the process. No. And then the other thing that's really important is you put key control points in place to measure the process so that the business owner can come back and say, hey, you know, I do see where I looked at that process the other day or last week or whatever, and recognize that that person did press that button and did check that box, and that's how I know that that got done. So
now, do you see some of the same mistakes over and over? You walk into an organization and you roll your eyes because you're like, here we go again. I've seen this A lot.
Yes and no. But there, you know, there tends to be a lot of areas, Stone, where there are gaps. People are doing something, and I worked with a company who said, you know what, we're not happy with our current supplier because they're taking 30 days to deliver us product. Well, the supplier did deliver it in 7 days, like according to their plan. But then by the time it got there and it sat on the loading dock for 5 days, and then the guy who managed the loading dock moved it to the closet, the problem is not with the supplier. It is with the company, because they just don't have a process to manage that particular problem.
Now, you mentioned nonprofits. Do you have a sweet spot of companies that you typically work with?
Yes, I do. I have one, Fur Kids. They are a nonprofit. They are the largest nonprofit animal shelter in the state of Georgia. And yes, they have a soft spot in my heart, and I do work with them and really enjoy that group. And Samantha Shelton, she's the executive director for that organization, and they do a great job taking care of animals.
And you've helped them streamline their process?
Yes, I'm still working on that. As a matter of fact, we're digitizing and working with another nonprofit in Atlanta called TechBridge that is going to be building them a system to manage everything that they currently do that's manual.
Is it harder to get animals to do what you want them to do, or people?
You know, it's easier to get animals to do what you want.
So I got to know, how did all this get started for you? What did you do in your former life before this?
I worked for a very large company for a long time, and then just decided that, you know what, I really don't want to do this corporate thing anymore, and decided to go out on my own and see what I can accomplish. Because, you know, I have done this process improvement thing for over 20 years. Inside the big company. Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
Now, is it different dealing with smaller companies?
It's not really. Because inside a large company, you have all these organizations and all these different groups, right? And they're small companies inside a big company. So,
but aren't the stakes higher for a small company? Like, if you're wrong in a small company, like, they could go out of business?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So do you feel that sense of responsibility when you're working with clients?
I do with whomever I'm working with. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's important for me to be able to provide them a solution,
right?
Because that's why they're coming to me. And my expertise and my experience gives me the knowledge that I need to help companies get to where they want to be.
Now, can you share any success stories that you were able to help a company with these processes take it to the next level?
Well, I would probably venture back to the company who left the product on the loading dock for 5 days. Yeah. So basically,
you said stop doing that.
created a real simple process. You know, they had a system whereby they ordered the product, right? So I said, okay, well, just take that system and let's add some control points to it. So when the product is delivered at the loading dock, the guy at the loading dock says, uh-oh, I need to go into that system and say, oh, yep, we got this computer.
Received.
Got this. Not only that, but then what it does, the system did, it also sent a notification to the person who ordered it.
To let them know it's here.
It's here. You can come get it. And when they went down to the loading dock or wherever the product was stored to receive it, the person who handed it to them also documented in the system that it was received. So the cycle time went from 29 days to a couple hours.
Now, so you lean on technology a lot?
Technology does help, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So now, are you a technologist, or you show them the tools that they can implement?
Well, I spent 8 years in the IT world at the large corporation that I worked. So I have a good understanding of potential solutions for companies. And also, if their systems are not working appropriately, I can also help to facilitate streamlining those processes as well.
So this is your company?
Yes.
How does the sales and marketing thing work? Does Beth bring you all your business?
I would love to say Beth Brinkman. I mean,
I guess I'm like, this is a great conversation, and it would be a great conversation for a prospective client. But I'm just curious, how do you get to have these conversations?
I do a lot of networking.
She goes to all the networking events.
So she did get invited to the five, to the heels thing.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right, so you do a lot of networking.
I do. I also visit with BNI, which is Business Networking International. And also I'm a member of the National Association of Professional Women. So I network a lot.
Well, this is great because we get to send both of them an invoice.
There you go. For every time. You mentioned them.
So networking is a big part of what you do. So you get a chance to visit with them. Mm-hmm. And then they get a chance to recognize that you know what you're doing, got a good head on your shoulders, and are really helping people.
Yes,
huh?
Absolutely. Thank you.
And then what is the pain point that they're having? Do they even know they have a problem a lot of times?
Well, a good indication is that a business leader is not sleeping at night.
Sleeping.
Yeah, not sleeping. So they're like, just not sleeping.
So if you go and ask your pharmacist who has the most Ambien,
then great networking opportunity.
That's an opportunity for
a strategic alliance with the pharmacist.
I would have thought.
Oh, my gosh. I love
that's
Ambien.
That's fantastic.
So that's how if they're – so is that what you try – when you're doing your networking, that's the questions you're asking a prospective
– I like to ask a business leader or a business owner, what's your sales? What's your income? You know, what do your numbers look like? Are they flat? Are they going down? If they're flat, there's a problem. And if they're going down, they're in trouble.
You sound like my wife. My wife asked me that question like 3 times a week. What are sales? Are they flat?
What's
your
process look like? Exactly. Let me analyze your process.
I get that question. Right. She ought to come to work with you.
Sure, absolutely.
So are you targeting any outside your nonprofit work, which you clearly enjoy and get a great deal of emotional compensation for, if not financial compensation? Right. Do you target any specific kinds of industries or companies?
All businesses have problems. So I don't target any type of company. I prefer to work with companies that have more than 50 employees, although I'm certainly not going to say no to someone, especially if they can admit that there are issues, you know, and they're willing to take a chance and let me help them so that they can grow their business and become more productive.
And I'll bet you kind of figure that out in those early conversations, right? Because some people are very close to the vest, and if they're not willing to open up and let you help them, then you need to go help somebody that'll let you, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, and another thing is when the processes and the problems get fixed, people are so much happier.
I'll bet.
You know,
and then they can sleep
really
at night. They don't need the
they
answer.
They can sleep at night.
The pharmacist isn't so happy anymore.
No.
Well, what rewarding work this must be.
It is. It's really great. I really enjoy doing what I'm doing.
So where can our listeners go to learn more?
They can find me on LinkedIn under Lynn Bring, B-R-I-N-G, like bring me something good.
All right, so that's the best place to reach
out. That's the best place to reach me. Or they can call me on my business number, which is 404-323-9010. And I'd also like to make an offer to the listeners. For anyone who calls me and mentions this program, I'd like to give them a complimentary hour of consulting work.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in
thank
the studio
you,
this morning.
Thank
and,
you.
And thank you, Beth, for bringing her. You're always bringing us the
I'm
greatest
always,
guests.
I have great guests every month. I love it.
Hey, listen, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
I would love to. Thank you so much, Stone. Thanks, Lee.
Sure. Yeah. Next up on High Velocity Radio this morning, we have the owner of the Grand Poobah, the big boss, with UFC Gym. Please join me in welcoming to the show Mr. Eric Williams. How you doing, man?
I'm great. I'm worried about all my processes. Now,
I was going to say, did we scare you or did you learn anything in that last segment?
I'm stay awake all night tonight. So. No, I'm doing great.
So this is right in your wheelhouse, Lee.
Huh? Why would it be in my wheelhouse?
Because Lee knows all about the gym. He's Dr. Fitness. Or
I'm not Dr. Fitness.
Perfect. We'll go to the gym after this.
Let's go.
Show you around.
Let's
That's
go.
Right.
We'll do a little interval
You're
training.
You're not Dr. Fitness, are you?
No, I'm not. How'd you get into the gym business? You like working out?
I do like working out. My wife and I got into it. We started looking about a year and a half ago to get into the fitness world. we felt like Sawn may be the voice today of UFC Gym, but she's for sure the brains. So as we started digging into everything, we saw the fitness business, and we felt like there was a lot of improvement that could be made in the fitness world, where if you go to most fitness centers now, you feel like it's more of a sales center than it is a help you improve destination. So
right.
We thought we would get into that and really just try to help improve people's lives.
Now, had you been members of gyms before?
Yes, on and off. We've done just about every gym out there. We'd probably done something, whether it'd been classes or individual or personal training. We'd tried most every gym out there, I think.
So, did you? So, your gym is your own vision of what a gym can be?
It is. So, we partnered with UFC Gym. So, that's a franchise. There's about 100 across the country.
Okay, so UFC is a franchise.
It is, yeah. Uh-huh, we're the first one to open in Georgia. So, we picked Dunwoody. We really love the community.
Yay.
Yeah.
A lot of fat people need some help, right?
I didn't say that.
All right. But I want to dive into this decision to go franchise as opposed to just open up your own gym, because maybe it's a different demographic, but I can tell you, as middle-aged guy with a little bit of a paunch, the name wouldn't have necessarily meant that much to me, I don't think.
Right.
So tell me about that decision.
Yeah, so we actually went back and forth on that a lot, as to do a franchise or do something
right.
Kind of under our own name. We thought with the UFC name, it had a lot more brand recognition.
Is so UFC the Ultimate Fighting?
It is.
So it's affiliated with the Ultimate Fighting.
It is. So that's the parent company that owns it. So if we need to do something, if we have someone that's a UFC fighter, they could come in, sign autographs, do demos, go around the club. We're not a fighting club, though. So a lot of the exercises, if you see a lot of the UFC fighters, they're more in shape than almost anybody else out there. It's
sure.
an amazing workout. I don't know if it's Herculean or not, but it's
it's close.
Yeah, that's right. It's an amazing workout. So you use a lot of the practices that the UFC fighters use to get in shape, and we now shape that into a class where anybody can come in from beginner. We have kids as young as 5, all the way up through adults that come
in
to take classes.
But you're not teaching fighting. You're just teaching fitness using some of the same fitness principles that Ultimate Fighters utilize?
That's correct. There's probably 5% of our members that actually want to be fighters, and we'll do some advanced training like jiu-jitsu or MMA, but for the large part of our members, they're really coming in because they're trying to get in shape, they've got a wedding they're getting ready for, they've got a vacation, they're really just trying to get back into whatever shape they, whatever the goals they have.
Now, are they, is there group classes or is it weights? Like what happens in the gym?
We have a little bit of both, I would say. The majority of people take our classes. We have about 50 classes a week that we mm-hmm. offer. Each class is about an hour long. We can do anything from kickboxing to boxing.
Tell them about the bags.
Yeah, sure. we've got about 30 heavy punching bags in the uh-huh. gym. The bags are about 150 pounds each. So it's not a class where you're ever going to be hit. You're punching a bag, and we talked a little bit about corporate America. There's a lot of stress out there sometimes.
There you go. Business owner package. Just come in and knock the crap. Can you come in with like a picture of a coworker and tape it on the bag?
They have a printer that's next to the, right. the bags.
That's right. That's right. But it's a great stress reliever. You can come in and picture whatever you want to picture. We don't judge. So picture whatever you want to picture and get a great workout in for an hour. We also do strength training. We do personal training. So really anything that you can find in the bigger gyms, we do that. We just do it with personal trainers and very personal instruction.
Now, is membership, that's one of the things a lot of these other gyms are just trying to get you to sign up and give them your credit card, and they don't care if you ever come in again.
Yeah. So we're not like that. So we know every member's name. We really get to know their family. We do a lot of family events. Once a month, we do events for all the members. We'll go and whether we'll host a happy hour or we'll do an event in the gym or we did a big float for the 4th of July parade for Dunwoody. So we try to be really active in the community and really know everybody. So we think the value you get out of the gym comes after you've signed up and you're there. Mm-hmm. So we definitely focus on our members and, again, try to get to know everything we can about them to help them reach their goals.
Now, how do you, though, compete? There's like, it seems like a gym on every corner. How do you stand out?
I think some of the things we were talking about now is that we really try to get involved in the community. We're not in the community just so we can get something out of it. We're in the community because they're our neighbors. They're the people that are going to grow as we grow. So mm-hmm. We really try to get involved in the community. And then a little bit what we talked about is that we're not pushy salespeople. We're not going to chase you out to the car trying to get you to sign up. You can come in, try some classes out, come in and enjoy yourself. And then when you want to sign up, we're there to help you as well. We also have, I would say, the best trainers out there. We really, especially in a class environment, the trainer makes or breaks your experience.
Right, and so, like in group exercise, right?
Right, right.
So how do you attract the high-quality people?
From a trainer standpoint, we probably go through our last round. We went through probably interviewing 40 people before we hired one trainer. So, wow. Yeah, we're really focused on the quality of the person that comes on board. A lot of people know fitness. They know some of the science behind it, but then it's how they deliver it. So you want it to be somebody that maybe they've never done a sit-up in their life. I don't want them to feel embarrassed or intimidated to come in the gym. So the trainer can either make you feel comfortable or make you not want to come back. So,
well, see, that's a great point to me. Like, Lee, you've been pretty good about working out, particularly recently, last, 6 or 8 months. It seems like you and Abby and Max, you guys go in and you get your exercise. But, like, I feel like I would be intimidated. I mean, you know, I can't tuck in my shirt over here, right? And I wear black on purpose. So what I hear you saying is that a guy like me can walk in and feel comfortable because you've got trainers with people skills and that are going to help me kind of ease along. Yeah,
definitely, 100%. It's as you come in, what we talk about is one of the big points of a class is that, in particular our classes, you don't have to have a plan. You walk in, come in your shorts, your sweatpants, your black shirt, and you don't have to have a plan. You don't have to think about what exercise I'm going to do, how many reps am I going to do. You can come in, let the instructor kind of lay it all out for you and prepare it for you, and then, again, in a class environment, you can go at your pace. So we don't do anything that's rep-based or repetition, so we don't say do 10 push-ups because some of us can't do 10 push-ups. So we'll say, all right, for 10 seconds, let's do push-ups. That may mean that I do 3 push-ups and you may do 10 push-ups. So
you do it by time, not by repetition?
Right, right.
And that's how you train all your trainers to teach that way?
It is. Everybody goes through, from the trainer standpoint, the trainers meet every week. They talk through kind of the agenda, the plan for the week. Each mm-hmm. trainer has a little bit of a different personality.
Sure.
So people tend to gravitate towards one personality or another. So we've got Floyd, who we call the philosopher. He's a boxing coach. He was a professional boxer before. And if you take one of his classes, you're going to learn the history of boxing. We've got Sean. He's kind of, if you listen to smooth jazz, he's kind of like that jazz, if you're listening to it. So I've never seen anybody work as hard and laugh as much in a class as people that take his class. So he's got a great sense of humor. And then Daniel, who usually does the weekends, he's really intense, really excited, really energized. He's going to get you, you're going to leave feeling like you just drank an energy drink from taking his class. So it's a little bit of a different flavor for everybody.
So with your obvious focus and passion for community, do you have any, I don't know, corporate or community kind of partnerships or special arrangements that you're crafting or already have in place?
Sure. We do a lot of things. One of the things that I like about being a small business is that we can be really flexible. So we have set programs, so we have a menu of choices if people want to just partner with something off the menu, or we can create something special. So we had Maggiano's down the street came in 2 weeks ago, I think. And
the RCS where I work out is Maggiano's.
Those plates are very heavy. Perfect.
They are very heavy. But they came in and did a team building for an hour. And awesome. So obviously a lot of businesses are strapped with their budget, but they would love to do team building. So free of charge, a business can come in and we'll set something up. We did a private class with them and we did things like tug of war. We did things, punching contest on the bags.
You have to be clear in the memo.
That's right.
When you send the memo out.
You got to pay extra if you don't want to use the bags.
That's right. So we'll do things like that. We've done some other things with some local businesses. Also, we're working with IHG to do some things on a little bit of a larger scale. So Whether it's a business that has one person on the team or 1,000 people on the team, we can really work to whatever they need.
And has the franchisor, UFC, have they been helpful?
They have been helpful. It's we picked this franchise on purpose because they're new.
How many gym print? You must have had a million choices, right?
Yeah, literally. Right? Felt like a million. That's right.
So you narrowed it down to how many? What was in your final selection?
Funny enough, it was we were looking at fitness and we were looking at food. It's kind of were the two final categories.
Right.
From a fitness standpoint, UFC kind of moved pretty far up to the top of the list.
So you like them. Were you able to talk to their leadership?
We were. We went out to made a trip out. We toured several around the country. Again, being the first one in Georgia, we had to go to them.
So you wanted to be, you liked that? That was attractive to you?
It was. We liked to be able to be the first one to open. We felt like we could kind of set the bar.
Right.
And we also, buying a franchise, you can get into certain franchises that all the rules are already written.
Right.
And we didn't want that. We wanted a franchise where we had a little bit of the pure entrepreneurial, we can kind of create some things as we go. But they also had a little bit of a safety net to say,
we know what works.
Here's kind of what we do, and then we can add on top of that. So it's been a great relationship so far.
And how often do you interact with them?
To some extent, every day there's some type of an email that either goes back and forth. Either I send it out or they send something over to me. And then usually every couple of weeks we'll have somebody that'll either a conference call or we'll just have some conversation.
Are you able to talk to other franchise owners in other areas so they can kind of compare notes and get tips?
Yeah, definitely. We've got there's a couple of clubs in New York. My wife's from New York, and we're able to compare and kind of talk about what they do. They've got a really successful club up there that they follow some of the same values that we have. So we talk with them. We've got a pretty good friend out in Austin that we share a lot of thoughts and ideas with. So we're able to talk a good bit.
And your location?
We're in the Walmart Shopping Center right off Ashford Dunwoody.
Oh, great. That's
okay.
A good spot.
And is there a place to find you on the web or reach out and just have a phone conversation or email? Any other coordinates you want to share?
Yeah, so you can find us. Our website is ufcgym.com, perimeter. And then if you want to email us, it's perimeter@ufcgym.com.
Well, congratulations on getting this thing going, man. It's an exciting time for you guys.
Oh, it's been great. We'd love to have you come out and we can do a class for everybody here and come out and try it out.
Have like an extreme class.
That's right.
That would be great. Beth, you're batting 1,000, babe.
Yay!
I love doing this segment. Let's make sure we leave our listeners with coordinates and upcoming stuff for the chamber.
Please visit www.dunwoodycommerce.org for anything about the chamber, all of our events, how you can become a member. Or you can dial 678-244-9700. And the events that we have coming up tomorrow, Tuesday, August 12th, we have the joint perimeter luncheon with Sandy Springs Chamber at the retreat. Commissioner of Economic Development, Chris Carr, speaking. It's going to be fabulous. Tuesday, August 19th, the Dunwoody Chamber in Heels and the Women's Group of Sandy Springs Chamber having a joint luncheon at Five Seasons Brewery. Gail Westcott speaking. And Thursday, August 28th, new member orientation for all those that are interested in the chamber and those that are new members at 4 o'clock. And Friday, August 29th, Coffee and Contacts, which is a monthly event, last Friday of every month, 7:30 a.m., and it's going to be at Morgan Falls Cafe.
All right. Thanks again.
Thanks for having all of us.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest this morning, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family. Saying we'll see you next time in the Fast Lane.